This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
So today's message we've titled Precious in God's Sight. And I'm speaking about people who are of faith, people who receive salvation in Jesus, who die, who specifically die before their time. And I want to share with you how it is not only precious in God's sight when He receives them, He doesn't want them to go before their time, He doesn't want them to go the way they go sometimes, but when we go, regardless of what we've done, what we haven't done, regardless of who we were, who we wanted to be, at the end of the day, God sees us as His children, and a parent loves his children and hates to see them go forever, go, well, at least in this world. But yet, if we were on the other side, we would be so glad to receive them because they are precious in our sight. And so I want to speak to you today along those lines. Let's begin by reading Psalm 116, verse 15. Now, before we start reading, let me tell you, we're going to look at a whole lot of scripture today. And I'm going to try and do it as quick as I can because I don't want to extend our time. But I also don't want to rush through it and miss what God wants us to hear today. So I want to encourage you, follow with me on the screen. I'm going to have everything come up on the screen. But I want to encourage you, follow with me, stay with me. So let's begin. Psalm 116, verse 15, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. Watch what it says. It says, precious, important, and no light matter in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, His loving ones. It is so powerful how it communicates to us that when we die, it is of great value to God. It is precious. And it is not because He's happy that we died. It is because He's happy to finally have us with Him, without sin, without the fleshly fallen body, and have us the way He made us, He always intended for us to be, and have us with Him for eternity. I know that I cannot wait, and I will wait. I'm not in a hurry. But when I can see my loved ones that have gone before me, it will be so wonderful. I don't know if we'll have all the memories and all the connections and the relations, but it's just going to be so wonderful to know that we are there in a perfect form and state forever and ever and with God. I can only imagine. I know that all our families are in South Africa, as you know. And when we do get to see them, you know, so many years later, it is so precious to see them. It is so precious for us to hug each other, be with each other, fellowship with each other. It is wonderful. So we can only imagine how God must feel when we eventually enter heaven through death. And it has to be through death. And so I want to read that same portion from the Passion Translation. And I love the way the Passion Translation puts that. Watch this, Psalm 116:15. It says, when one of God's holy lovers dies, it is costly to the Lord, touching His heart. In other words, He gains something that is of great value to Him. That's why it touches His heart. Now, looking at this in the original, it also conveys that if they go before their time, it is a sad thing for Him, but the joy is greater knowing that He's receiving them for eternity to be with Him. And this is how He's going to feel about you and me when we enter heaven eventually. Isn't it beautiful? It's a wonderful thing to look forward to. And so you can see from this from that portion of scripture, that death is not a trivial, meaningless matter to God. When one of us dies, it is a treasure to Him because He receives us for eternity, even though it feels like a loss for us. And so when it happens, it's interesting to see how in that portion of scripture, it also communicates to us that God personally oversees our transition. Didn't you see that in that? He says how precious it is to the Lord. In other words, He's involved in receiving you into heaven. And He expresses the value that you have to Him when you enter heaven. He is right there, personally, seeing to your transition. It is wonderful to know and understand that. And you know, on the internet, we see so many things, how people are being received by the Lord, these AI creations and videos. And I know they try and do the best job they can, but a lot of them just bring that reality home because that's exactly how it is. He is there waiting for us, ready to receive us because we are precious to Him. Amen. And so unlike the world, which sees death as a tragic or final thing, God views the death of His saints as a moment of gain. Look at Philippians 1 verse 21 and what it says. It says, "For to me," this is Paul writing here, he says, "to live is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live. And to die," he says, "is gain, for I will be with Him in eternity." You see, death for those left behind is a sad thing. It feels like a loss. But for the one who dies, it is actually a gain. It is a great thing. Why? Because they'll be with God, without sin, without this flesh, without this fallen world. They are in the perfect state, just like Jesus, and will enjoy God forever. So death is actually something where we gain. Amen. And so when death occurs in the body of Christ, we need to remind ourselves of our eternal future. It is a gain, both for us and for God. I've just shown you that, how precious it is for Him. So He gains, we gain, everybody wins. Amen. Everybody gains. It reminds me of the very first martyr in the Bible, in the New Testament. The very first person who died for the gospel. He stood up for the gospel truth. He stood up for righteousness. He stood up for correct belief in salvation in Jesus. And what happened? They killed Him. They stoned Him to death. They didn't have bullets in those days, so they used the projectiles that they had, which were stones. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Stephen. Amen. We generally are familiar with him. But Stephen stood boldly for what he believed, even when it was unpopular and dangerous. That even though it's thousands of years later, we still face the same enemy, the same devil, the same enemies. And we still need to have the same courage, the same tenacity, the same conviction, the same zeal for gospel truth. Because I honestly believe the body of Christ has become a sleeping giant to a degree. And this is going to rise us up and take us to the next level. And so, Stephen's life carried weight. His influence, his courage, his commitment to truth touched many. And so to this day, we see ripple effects of Stephen's sacrifice. It caused an awakening in his time. It still inspires people and still strengthens and encourages us today. Amen. You see, Stephen was not silenced by death. By far. the physical body he lived in may have perished there when they stoned him. But he was not silenced by death. We are still talking about him today. You see, many were impacted by Stephen's death. Let's have a look at Stephen's legacy and see how it began. And let's walk through this. We're going to read a lot of scripture, okay? Because I want to just show it to you and convey the heart of this to you today. These are the days of the early church. Let's begin by reading Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 6 from the New Living Translation. It says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied," you see, this is the beginning of the church, "there were rumblings of discontent. Well, disconnect too, I guess. Discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food." Verse 2. "So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, 'We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men, watch this, who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom.'" Isn't that amazing? How they look for people to be deacons, to be those who serve the people, to be well respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and wise. And you will see that Stephen was one of these. So Stephen was a respected person, full of the Holy Spirit, and he was wise. Then it says, "We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Verse 5. "Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following." Look whose name is first. "Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them." In other words, they transferred the anointing upon them. That was powerful. So notice how you see that Stephen was well respected. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of wisdom. He was full of faith. Clearly, this man was really and truly one who had a heart for God. Amen. And so what we find here is that Stephen was a Greek-speaking believer. And he was an amazing man, clearly. He was not an apostle, and yet he performed amazing signs and wonders. Look at this in Acts 6, verse 8. We're all in the same vicinity there. It says, "Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power." Look at that. Now he's full of grace and power. "Performed amazing miracles and signs among the people." This is not a guy who was designated as an apostle at first. It's not someone who was, you know, being trained by Jesus or was trained by Jesus or anything like that at all. This was just a regular guy who went to church, heard the gospel, was impacted by the gospel, began to pursue God and build his relationship with God, and just this wisdom and all these different things just came upon him, and he began to see great success. So much so that even though he wasn't a designated apostle, he was doing miracles and signs and wonders like the apostles were. It's powerful. And then the other thing too that I want to remind us is that Stephen was not a prophet, and yet he preached and he communicated the gospel so powerfully, you would probably, if you didn't know anything about him, you would think he must be a prophet or something. But he wasn't. Look at this in Acts 6, verse 9 and 10. It's so powerful. It says, "But one day, some men from the synagogue, freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him." That's talking about Stephen. "They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Sicilia, and the province of Asia." Watch this. none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. Can you see that? So here's a man who wasn't designated as a prophet. He wasn't recognized as a prophet, but yet people couldn't debate with him adequately. Why? Because the wisdom on him, the Spirit of God upon him, was just so mighty and powerful. People couldn't win the arguments because he spoke right into their hearts by the anointing of God. And so Stephen was what every believer should be like. Do you agree with that? It's true. And so it was only a matter of time before those who cannot stand truth, who would seek to attack and silence Stephen. And that's what happened. And that's what we have seen in our modern times. Look at this in Acts 6, verse 11 to 15. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen. See, they couldn't get him with their silly arguments. So now they find people who are going to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." This roused the people, the elders and the teachers of religious law. In other words, old covenant law. In other words, Stephen was preaching grace. He was showing them how the law points to Jesus and how we're not supposed to relate to God by law anymore. We're supposed to relate to him by grace. That's why they said he's speaking against Moses, against the law. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said that. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple, watches, and against the law of Moses." And so, you see, when you preach gospel truth, this is what they level up against you. And that's what they leveled up against Stephen. Look at verse 14. "We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us." See? In other words, he's telling us that we're not going to relate to God by law anymore. So he was preaching the gospel of grace. Verse 15. "At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen," watch this, "because his face became as bright as an angel's." Can you imagine that? His face became as bright as an angel's. So they were all sitting there, standing, whatever they were doing, and they were watching these witnesses, these arguments, and these false accusations. And they were looking at Stephen and they stared at him, because now all of a sudden the glory of God was on his face, so much so that he looked like an angel. Now let me ask you this. Why do you think that would happen? Why would God permit or allow that to happen? What is the significance behind that? What is the point of doing that? Well, you see, here's the thing. Remember when God gave the law to Moses, and Moses came down to the people. What happened? They couldn't stand to look at his face because of the glory of God. So he had to put a veil over his face, and it faded slowly, because the law was never meant to be the way we relate to God always. It was to show us and point us to Jesus, that we need redemption in Jesus, because we cannot redeem ourselves by our merit or our performance, which is what the law is about. And so this was a parallel to that, where they saw Stephen share gospel truth. And even though it pierced their hearts, they couldn't stand him. They wanted to kill him. They were looking for a reason to get rid of him because they didn't like to hear gospel truth. When the glory of God shone on his face, it was like God saying, the glory was on Moses, which is the law. These false witnesses are saying this about Stephen. Let me back it up with the glory on his face so you can see that this is gospel truth. That's the reason why that happened. And so when you look at Stephen's life, he was young too. And you know, sometimes it's not the length of a person's life, but the depth of the person's life that establishes their legacy and their influence. It's not always speaking to 12,000 people, to 3,000 people. Sometimes it's just speaking to a few and establishing their hearts in gospel truth, which somehow, somewhere along the line, impacts more people than they ever realize. Amen. And that's what we see here with Stephen. So when questioned, what Stephen does is he recounts the history of Israel. Because now they said to him, tell us what it is that you're preaching. Tell us why. Is this correct? Have your say. These witnesses have accused you. Let's hear you. So what Stephen does is he actually recounts the history of Israel. And he shows them how Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, how they repeatedly resisted God and rejected his messengers. And so Stephen builds to the climax that they have now betrayed and murdered the righteous one, who is Jesus. And so what it does is that enrages them and it leads to his death. So really, in his long preach that he shares with them, and I want to encourage you, go read it. Acts 6, 7, and 8, go read it. That's in essence what he's conveying to them. He's saying, God keeps sending you people to hear gospel truth, but you keep rejecting it and you keep killing them. And you've done it to Jesus too, because they did the same thing to Jesus. And he's saying, you are just so stubborn. How about listening for a change? And it drives them mad that they seek to kill him. Watch this. Acts 7, verse 51 to 60. Let's read this quick. So he finishes now telling them the whole story and recounting it. And then he says this. This is Stephen speaking to them. He says, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. They were spitting mad. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Notice, Jesus stood up to receive Stephen. This is powerful. And he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. In other words, he knew his time was up. Verse 57. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. See, so they don't hear him. They start close their ears and they start shouting. Isn't this terrible? These are a stubborn, evil-hearted people who wouldn't hear gospel truth. And much of our society is like this today. This is why we need Stephens who will have the boldness, the courage to speak up, even to the point of death. Then it goes on and it says, they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is Paul the Apostle. Later he received salvation in Jesus. I am convinced that Paul, who was then Saul, was touched by the death of Stephen. That's why he became so radical himself. Verse 59, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with his sin. And with that, he died. What a tragic, tragic way to die. Wouldn't you agree? But yet, look at his life. He stood for gospel truth. He stood for reform amongst the Jewish people, his nation. He was bold about it. He didn't compromise. He wasn't shy. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And God gave him the anointing and the ability to debate, to argue, if you will, to present a case so wisely that even the wisest of them couldn't argue with him. And I can imagine it triggered some people and made them unhappy because they don't like hearing truth. Why? Because their heart hides evil. Their heart hides things that they think cannot be forgiven for. So instead of facing God, facing the voice of God, and receiving salvation in Jesus, receiving His grace and mercy, they will rather kill the voices that will expose them, thinking that they win, and they don't. That's why it's always good for us to just be transparent with God when He addresses us with something. Amen. I mean, it's really powerful. So Stephen was the catalyst for starting the spread of the gospel around the world. Do you know that? Do you know that you and me owe Stephen something for hearing the gospel, for being here today, being able to understand gospel truth, the gospel of the grace of God, understanding the difference between law and grace, understanding what it means to be a new covenant believer and receive salvation in Jesus. It is because of Stephen's sacrifice and what he did that day that we just read about in summary, that we stand here today because of that. You don't believe me? Watch this. Acts 8 verse 1. And then we'll jump to verse 4, okay? It says, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. See, this is before he became Paul and received salvation in Jesus. Watch this. A great wave of persecution began that day. You see, the enemies of God thought they won, and now they're going to get everybody else, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. Now watch this. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. So now, because of what happened to Stephen, all the believers were scared and afraid, and they moved and went all over the place. That was all part of God's plan. Remember, Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive salvation in Jesus, I'm putting it in my own words, you are going to go out to the furthest corner of the world and spread the gospel. Amen. Well, this is, you see, God took this situation. He didn't cause it, but He took it and He used it to spread the gospel. It was all because of what happened to Stephen. You see what I mean? That's why I said what I said. Now look at verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. This is why I say Stephen was the catalyst for starting the spread of the gospel around the world. Do you see that? And so what am I saying in all of this? Satan and his evil cohorts may think that they have shut another voice in our generation. But let me tell you, they have unleashed an imaginable force in the church. And that's the other thing that God showed me in my dream last night. Satan and these evil people think that they've finally shut a voice that they couldn't stand in our generation. But what they've really done is they've unleashed an unimaginable force in the world. And you are going to see that. This awakening that we've been going through for the last few years is going to just switch gears drastically. And you are going to see this expand because now we have a whole new younger generations that are not stupid. They know exactly what's going on. They see what that was about, and it's going to set them on fire for their relationship with God, for salvation in Jesus. And watch, they may have silenced one voice, but they have just unleashed thousands, if not millions, of voices. It is going to be powerful. Praise God. What else am I saying in this message? What I'm saying to you and I is that God is looking for people like Stephen. Amen. People who have courage and boldness and are not, they are not ashamed of the gospel. So my question is, will it be us? Will it be you? Will it be me? Well, wonderful saints, the other thing that I want to remind you before we close today is that it is your generous giving that helps us continue doing what we do. Amen. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, go to newcreationchurchsa.com/give. It is safe. It is secure, I assure you. And so express your support, express your generosity that way to help us continue doing what we do. Amen. One life changed is worth everything this world has. Amen. And so there's great value. I mean, how precious it is to God. Amen. So thank you again for your generosity. May the Lord bless you abundantly as you express your support and your generosity today. He says in His word that He will multiply your seed, that He will send you a harvest greater than the seed you've sown, so that we can continue expanding the work of the gospel. Amen.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.